Amen. Turn with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 6 tonight. 2 Kings chapter 6. Very thankful to be able to preach tonight. Looking forward to this message. I was going one way at the beginning of the week for where the Lord wanted me to spend some time. And then I think it was about Wednesday, God just kind of turned the horse around. And we started going another direction. And by the time I finished this sermon, I was shouting. God spoke to me, and I am very prayerful that tonight you will receive a blessing and be encouraged tonight. 2 Kings chapter 6, we're going to read verses 8 through 17. It's a familiar passage to those of you who have studied Elisha a little bit. But 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 17. I know we've been up and down, but let's all stand one more time for the reading of God's Word as we honor His Word. Verse number 8, 2 Kings chapter 6. Once, when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, "At such and such a place shall be my camp." But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there." And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. And thus he used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet who's in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." And he said to him, "Then go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him." And so it was told the king, "Behold, he is in Dothan." And so he sent there horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and they surrounded the city. And when the servants of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, there was an army with horses and chariots all around the city. And the servant said to Elisha, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And he said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Let's pray. Father, again, Lord, I ask that you just bless us with your presence this morning, Father, as we talk about your word and take a journey together tonight. God, may you be in our midst. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity. We thank you for our church family. Father, we ask again that you be glorified in everything said and done here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So let's talk just a little bit. Let me give you a little backstory and background on Elisha. First, you need to know that Elisha knew the power of God. Now, does anyone remember? This is a tricky question. Does anyone remember who Elisha used to work for? Elijah, right? That's a very tricky question. Elisha walked with Elijah. Elisha saw the miracles of God that were performed with the prophet Elijah. Do you remember when Elijah was taken up in the chariot of fire in the whirlwind, and he asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit, and Elijah said to him, if you see me go up, if God allows you to see that, then your prayer has been, your request has been answered. And so then he saw him go up, and then Elisha picked up the cloak of Elijah and walked back to the river and picked up that cloak and slapped the water with it, and the waters parted. He had seen the power of God in the hand of Elijah, but he saw the power of God in his own hand. He parted those waters. He was sent to a widow, and through prayers, he saw an endless supply of oil given to this widow so that she could care for her family. He prayed for a God, for a woman who had a barren womb who could not have children, and in her old age, God granted her a son. And then if you recall, this son died. And so she called back to Elisha and said, "Why did you give me a son and then just take him from me and allow him to die?" And so God gave Elisha the power to raise this child back to life. He had seen the power of God. He healed a man with leprosy. He did many other things in the Old Testament. I love studying Elisha. He is one of my absolute favorites. And so his servant had also seen God's power. Now, if you read through 2 Kings, in some of the stories of Elisha, it names his servant. But in this particular passage, it doesn't name the servant. So it may be the same one. It may be a different servant. We don't know. But if he had walked with Elisha at all, he had seen the power of God. He had walked with him and seen at least some of these miracles that had been done. So Elisha and Elisha's servant knew the power of God. Elijah knew the presence of God. And we see that specifically in this passage. This is one of my absolute favorite passages. So here's the scenario. The Syrians are going to attack Israel. But every time they come to attack Israel, the king of Israel seems to know their plan before they execute the plan. And the king of Syria just gets furious. And he says, he's talking to some of his servants, his cabinet. And he says, tell me, who's the insider? We have a traitor in our midst. Who is it? And so one of his servants turned to him and said, there's no traitor. But there's a prophet in Israel, and his name is Elisha. And everything you talk about, he goes and tells the king of Israel. So he says everything the scripture says, even that you say in your bedroom, O king. He tells the king of Israel everything. And so the king of Syria, of course, says, well, you find out where he's at because I'm fixing to get him. And he sends a great army, musters a great army, finds out he's in Dothan, sends this army to Dothan. They surround the city. And then it happens at night. So Elisha doesn't know. At least we're not told that he knows what's going on. Neither does his servant know what's going on. But that morning, Elisha's servant gets up and goes out of the house to go get the newspaper, bring it back in for Elisha. I thought it was funny. Anyway, goes out to get the newspaper and brings it back in. And when he gets out there, he bends over to pick up the newspaper and he looks up and what does he see? The mountain is filled with an army. They're surrounding the city. And he thinks, oh Lord, what is happening? This is bad. Anytime there's a big army with chariots and spears and bows and swords and they're looking at you, something bad is going to happen. This is never a good situation. And so he runs back in the house and he's panicked. And he says, Oh, Master, what are we going to do? There's an army. They're surrounding us. What can we possibly do? And what does Elisha say? Don't worry about it. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. My goodness, what a line. That is something we need to plaster on the wall in the living room of our homes. Those who are with us are greater than those who are with them. And Elisha prays a very simple prayer. And he says, oh God, open his eyes that he can see what I see. Lord, open his eyes so that he sees the real army. Lord, open his eyes to see what is truly out there. And after that prayer, of course he says, in the name of Jesus I pray, amen. And after that prayer, the servant's eyes are open and he looks up and the hills are filled with angelic warriors, chariots of fire, surrounding the other army, but the whole mountain is just filled with these warriors and these angels. And Elisha's servant has nothing left to say. Elisha knew the presence of God. Through his life of faith, he had been shown exactly where God was and how near God was. But his servant, his eyes needed to be opened. He had to be shown the presence of God. And I'm using this text as a jumping off point to get to where I want to go. But we tend to do exactly what this servant did, don't we? We do exactly what the servant did. We don't do what Elisha did. Near enough. We don't know what Elisha knew near enough. We do exactly what the servant did. We focus on the enemy. In spite of what we know in our hearts, in spite of what we've experienced in our lives, we still focus on the enemy. When there's an army in front of us, we focus on what's right in front of us. It doesn't matter how many times that God has delivered us, how many times God has walked with us, how many times God has parted the water, so to speak, in our lives, how many times He's miraculously delivered us. We know these things, we've experienced these things, but when there's an evil army standing up in front of us with swords and spears and bows and chariots, we focus on the army and we forget the other stuff, don't we? Amen? Am I the only one who does that? When cancer rears its head in your family, we tend to focus on the cancer, don't we? When COVID rears its head in the nation, we tend to focus on the COVID. You fill in the blank. When you wreck your car and you don't have a way to get to work, we focus on the wreck. We focus on whatever. We focus on the army. We focus on the enemy. And let me tell you something, folks. Our enemy loves to be seen. Satan loves to be seen. He loves to show up in a big way. He loves to make us forget what we know to be true in our heart, doesn't he? He loves to make us doubt. That is one of his favorite tools, because if the enemy can make us forget and can make us doubt, that causes us to be ineffective, doesn't it? It causes us to lose our testimony, or at least hit the mute button on our testimony and our walk. If the enemy can put fear in our hearts and can take away the truth of God from our hearts, then what he has done is he has silenced God's greatest tool to witness to our friends, family, and our neighbors. He loves it. He loves to make us doubt. He loves to make us forget. Tonight, for a few moments, I want to invite you to look again. That's what the servant did. Elisha prayed and said, "Look again." That's Michael's translation. Look again. And God opened his eyes. I want you to look again with me and take your eyes off the enemy. I want you to look again and take your eyes off your surroundings. I want you to remember what you know. I invite you to remember the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To remember the God of your salvation. To remember the power in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want you to remember that there is nothing impossible with our Waymaker. Nothing. I invite you to close your eyes of fear and doubt and look through eyes of faith. Open those eyes of faith. I invite you to look again from God's perspective to see what He saw then, but to also see what God sees now, today. I invite you to look again with me through the Scripture. With Noah, people saw a lunatic, but God saw a righteous man. With Abraham, Abraham and Sarah saw a hopeless situation, but when God looked at them, God saw the father of many nations. Joseph saw a prison, but God saw his preparation. Moses saw excuses, but God saw the exodus in front of him. 12 spies, 10 of them saw the opposition, but 2 of them saw the opportunity because God showed it to them. With Rahab, Jericho just saw a bunch of enemy spies, but Rahab saw a means of salvation. We've got to look again. Open our eyes and look again. Gideon felt his cowardice, but God saw his future valor. Samuel saw a child, but God saw a king. Goliath, Israel saw a giant. David saw Israel's God. Elijah saw Jezebel and ran from her, but God saw Jezebel's judgment. In Elisha's servant, he saw the enemy's army, but Elisha saw God's army. Israel was wallowing in moral depravity during Isaiah's time, but Isaiah saw the throne of God high and lifted up. Amen? Look again. We have to look again in Scripture. Jeremiah. I love the book of Jeremiah. Many just see an embryo in an unborn child, but God consecrated Jeremiah before he was formed in the womb. Ezekiel saw dry bones. God brought him back to life. Darius lamented over Daniel's certain death, but God demonstrated angelic deliverance in Daniel's life. With the nativity, the world saw a manger, but the shepherds saw the Messiah. With Jesus, the Pharisees just saw Joseph's son, a carpenter's son, but John the Baptist saw the Lamb of God. With the apostles, most saw their commonness, but Jesus saw their commitment and their commission. We've got to look again. When Jesus fed 5,000, the apostles just saw a few bites, but Jesus saw a buffet. Peter, the apostle, saw the storm raging, but Peter saw the Savior. With Lazarus, Martha smelled his death, but Jesus spoke his life. In Golgotha, the Jews saw the cross, but God saw an empty tomb. With Paul, the Christians saw a mortal enemy, but Jesus saw a mighty evangelist. And with John, the authorities saw a prison on Patmos, but John saw a picture of paradise. We have got to look again. We've got to look again at every situation in our life. This is the God we serve. This God of Scripture is the one we serve. We've got to look again in our lives. With COVID, some see a cause to hide, but God is giving us an opportunity to trust Him. With politics, some see a reason to shout at one another, but God has called for a season to pray for one another. With a civil discord, some see a need to lash out, but God would have us seek peace and healing. And with sin in our world, some revel in their wrongdoing, but God is seeking a heart of repentance. Our issue today is the same as it's always been. It's a vision problem. It was the same in Elisha's day. It's the same now. We've got to look again. We've got to look again. Psalm chapter 121, verse number 1 and 2 says this. David wrote, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills from where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and the earth." If our God can make heaven and earth, if our God can do all these mighty miracles throughout the Scripture, can our God not come into our lives and touch us and heal us and grant us exactly what we need? Perhaps you say, "Brother Michael, I've prayed and God didn't answer my prayer." Well, sure He did. He just didn't tell you what you wanted to hear. But sometimes children don't need to be given what they want. If every parent who sent their kid out trick-or-treating on Halloween plopped that bag, trash bag full of candy on their bed at night and let that kid go at it all night long, what would happen? They'd be throwing up all over the house the next day. And that's exactly what we're like. We see the trash bag full of candy and we say, "God, I want it." And God says, "You don't need it. You need Me." We've got to look again and we've got to trust our God. So tonight, I invite you to look again. What does God want from you right now, tonight? What problem are you facing? What part of our society, what part of your life has you paralyzed with fear? What is causing you to worry and keeping you awake at night? Friends, brothers and sisters, we got to look again. We talked about this in staff meeting a few weeks ago. We have a vision problem. We have a vision problem. Churches all over the United States are hurting. And they're hurting not because God's power has changed. They're hurting because Satan got smart and instead of trying to stamp out the church, he said, "For your own health, you should probably just hit pause on your religious activity." And we bought it. Christians all over the world have bought it. And they got used to staying home for those 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months and they've not come back. I talked to another pastor in church of a very large church in town. And I asked him, I said, "How are things going?" And he said, "Man, we're at maybe 50% on a really good Sunday. Maybe." He said, "Folks just aren't coming back." And I said, "What do you think the problem is?" He said, "I think the problem is they got lazy. They got used to TV church. It's great. You can watch in your pajamas and you can hit pause when you need to go to the bathroom and then you can hit play again. And then you can, you know, whatever. And there's not a lot of conviction going on there. You can't really sing because nobody in your family wants to listen to one another sing unless you're Brother Dale's family." We got to look again. God's power has not changed. God's army has not changed. The same army that lined the mountains around Dothan In Elisha's day, is here with us. Oh, that God would open our eyes so that we could look again at what we're going through and at where we are, and we would see the hand of God at every turn in our lives. How strong would your faith be? If you could see the angels in this room tonight, would it change your faith? They're here. They're here. God is here. He said, "Where you're gathered together, I'm here." Brother Josh quoted that scripture last week. It's great. He's here. God is here. Look again. Let's all stand tonight. Perhaps you are here tonight and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I don't know why you wouldn't. I don't understand. Look again at the cross. Look again at what God has done for you. Look again at the heart of love that your Father God has given you. And He poured out His Son's life for you. Look again at the cross. Call out asking Him to forgive you of your sin. Repent of what you've done wrong. Asking Him to be your God. Give your heart to Him and trust. And He will do that. And He has promised to walk with you every step of the way. Look again. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You so much for another opportunity to be here tonight. Father, I pray that these reminders from Scripture would encourage us this week as we go out in our lives, God, that we would be encouraged to remember who You are and all that You have done. And Father, help us to open our spiritual eyes, Father, to close our eyes of fear and doubt, but to open our eyes of faith and to see You in everything that comes our way, in every situation, every scenario, and every person. God, may we see Your guidance and Your hand in all of it. Father, help us to look again and see the face of Jesus. Bless this invitation, Father. Work in our hearts. In Jesus' name.